brothers and sisters, the father of Pan-Africanism, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, says to all black people all over the world, the secret of life is to have no fear. We all have to understand that.
Listeners all over the world, this is still Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And of course, debuting on Spirit of Nigeria Radio is Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed. Remember, this is Spirit of Nigeria Radio, giving positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. This is the maiden edition of Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed, all the way from Canada. And I'm sure he has a very interesting guest who's going to be discussing a very interesting topic, something that the whole world wants to listen to. Dr. Ahmed, over to you. Hello, how are you over there in Canada?
Oh, thank you very much, Choi. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening to us. This is Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Welcome, welcome, and this is Doctor's Round. My name is A.G. Ahmed. I'm here speaking to you from Ottawa, Canada. With me today will be a special guest. And today's episode, our inaugural episode, we'll be talking about a very important topic that is burning in our minds and everybody's mind over the world. Over the past almost 12 months, we've been battling with COVID. And there's been a lot of talk about the vaccines. We're going to be talking about COVID-19 vaccine from biology through politics through to culture, and we'll be landing on economics of this very important topic. COVID-19 vaccines is what we're going to be starting with. This is Spirit of Nigerian Radio. My name is A.G. Ahmed again. And to do justice to this very important subject matter is Dr. Dele Ogunremi. Dele Ogunremi, welcome. Are you there, Dr. Dele?
Yes, I'm right here. It's
great. Thank you very much. Good. Dr. Ogunremi is a research scientist at the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, CFIA, here in Ottawa. He's a trained veterinarian, a true Nigerian, and he had his education with a doctoral degree and postdoctoral degree in molecular biology and immunology. He obtained his DVM, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, with distinction in 1984, and a Master's of Veterinary Science in 1986 from University of Ibadan, Nigeria. He had his PhD at University of Saskatchewan here in Canada. He's a Saskatchewan boy, just like me, in 1983, right?
Yes. Good old Saskatchewan.
Yes, good old Saskatchewan, man. He completed his postdoctoral training in 1986 in the same university. Dr. Ogunremi has been working for the federal government for the past, guess what? A quarter of a century, 25 years. He has developed research programs and projects in animal health, food safety, and genomics. Man, what's that? Genomics. I won't let you answer that question because you'll be telling us more about it. I'm just a shrink, eh? What do I know? He has developed over 30, listen to that, 30 new diagnostic assays, completed over 50 research projects, achieved over 50 innovations. This guy is a gem, man. As early as, he's an early adopter of genomic sequencing. He has generated, listen to this, over 1,500 bacteria genomes and metagenomes using a variety of sequencing platforms. He has two patents in the United States and New Zealand, and one here in Canada. He has given over 60 scientific patent, presentation on four continents, published over 50 papers in high-profile international journals, and has written chapters in books. He has served on the editorial boards of Canadian Journal of Microbiology and Scientific World Journal. He has reviewed over 20 international journals. He's an adjunct professor in the Department of Food and Science, University of Guelph. Two of his projects relevant to this topic have been published, and he has collaborated internationally. Welcome to Doctor's Round, Dr. Ogunremi.
Thank you, Dr. Ahmed. It's certainly great to be here, and I'm looking forward to engaging the audience.
Thank you very much. So today what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, the way the program will run is this. The first half of this program will be me asking Dr. Ogunremi a series of questions about this very important topic. And later on, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. But you know what? You can butt in at any time because this is your program. This is Dr. Sran for the people of Nigeria, for the world, for everybody. It is your program, not our program. Welcome. So, Dr. Ogunremi, shall we start?
Yes, please, let's go for it.
There you go. Maybe you should start. What's all this about vaccine? I'd like you to give us a few background about what vaccine is, and also to tell us why, how is vaccine different from drug treatment? Wow. With or without COVID-19?
Thank you. So, yes, we are going to talk about, we'll make it light. We understand that the audience consists of a lot of people from different backgrounds. So we will talk at different levels, but I'll try and repeat myself so that I don't want to lose my audience. So my Niger people, you there, eh?
We do.
So what's a vaccine? When you say a vaccine, what does that mean? A vaccine is a substance that when a host is exposed to, will create in that host a response, it's an immune response, that will protect against a disease-causing agent. That's a general way of defining a vaccine. Today, They're having vaccines against cancer as well. But if we want to just stay with infectious disease whereby something gets into you, maybe a parasite, a virus, or a bacterium, a vaccine will be something that you'll be exposed to prior to being, you'll be injected with or take prior to you being exposed to the disease agent so that you'll be protected from that disease agent. So that's a vaccine. A vaccine is different from a drug because a vaccine is, again, generally speaking, a prophylaxis. It's a protective measure.
Right.
A drug is something you take after you have been exposed to the agent so as to cure you. Now, as you know, you can also take some drugs as prevention, as you do in malaria.
Right.
Speaking, a drug is something you use for treatment. A vaccine is something you use for prevention.
Thank you very much. That is very, very clear. So basically, vaccines are protectors. Drugs are curers for most part. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Thank you very much. So is COVID vaccine the same thing as COVID drug then? Is it the same thing?
Is COVID vaccine the same thing as a COVID drug?
As a drug that we use to treat COVID. Are they the same?
It is not the same thing.
So how are they different?
Drug will be, again, after you've been exposed to COVID, then you are sick, and then the doctors will now treat you with different sets of drugs as to maybe it will be symptomatic treatment. In other words, they're just treating the symptoms. Or it could be an antiviral like remdesivir, which is used to protect against the virus. There's other sets of drugs, antibody cocktails, that can also be used to treat. And the most common example was the one that was used to treat President Trump. That was a monoclonal antibody cocktail.
Right.
Vaccine will be something you'd be exposed to before you get the infection so that you are protected even when you're exposed to the infection.
Right. So this idea of some drugs being used prophylactically, chloroquine, ivermectin, how does that fall into all these analyses you are giving us? Because some people say you can use it as prophylactic in addition to treating. How does that work?
There is very true that there's some drugs that have been proposed for prophylactic use. We've heard of hydroxychloroquine. We're beginning to hear about ivermectin. Some of these drugs have not been proven in the most rigorous scientific way. This is not to say they are not working or they don't work, but they have not been proven in a very rigorous way. If a doctor, we've heard of many doctors that have been prescribing that to people and they claim they're working, and they may well be working. So I don't want to knock that and to say that's not something that's acceptable, no. But in science, usually you go through procedures that are rigorous, and at the end of it, you come out and say, okay, we are sure of what we're saying within this confidence interval. The other thing that this helps me to bring up is the story of this pandemic. We should always remember that this coronavirus was not known of before December 2019 at all.
Yeah.
So this is a new area. So the world is going through a very new experience. A lot of things are being tried experimentally, and they could well work. Other things need time to be proven, if indeed they work. So I think that's part of the idea here, that there's a lot of information being thrown out that still needs to be proven in some ways. They may work, but you still need that rigorous evaluation before you can say, yes, we're sure what we're saying.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ogunremi. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Doctor's Round on SNR. And this is Dr. Ogunremi discussing the biology, politics, and economics of COVID vaccine. I'll be moving straight forward to our, I know we've got a lot of grounds to cover, but let's go back to this vaccine, and I'll try not to digress, okay? How many COVID vaccines are there in all? We've heard of so many of these, of 2, 3, 10 WHO talking about 5 in the whole world. I don't know. How many of them?
That's a good question. And that number could change every day to day. So to step back, in August of this last year, the World Health Organization released a list of vaccines that are being worked on. And that list had 125 candidate vaccines. This is the list of people that have told the World Health Organization that they were working on developing a vaccine. That's a long list. Now, most of those will never see the light of the day. But right now, we do know there are 3 licensed vaccines in the United Kingdom. There are 2 of them licensed in the U.S.
Right.
In the pipeline, there's about
5 out of 40
vaccines.
This is... sorry, Dr. Ogunremi, could listeners please mute their mic?
Yeah,
this is interrupting.
Yeah, Olayinka Oduwaye. Yeah, it's from Olayinka Oduwaye. You should just mute the mic, please.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Oduwaye, could you please mute your mic? Thank you very much. Dr. Ogunremi, please go ahead.
Yes, so there are about 6 boxes that we can say are either available now or will soon be available. There's a can. There's 6 vaccines, and I can go through them if you want.
Yes, please.
There's a Pfizer vaccine, which was the first to be approved. That is a messenger RNA vaccine. We'll get into that. There's also the Moderna vaccine, which was produced in the U.S., another messenger RNA vaccine. So those are the 2 vaccines licensed now in the U.S.
Okay.
In addition, in the UK, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine has been licensed.
Okay.
So the 3rd vaccine licensed in the UK. In addition to those, the 2 vaccines just about to be licensed. They are undergoing evaluation as we speak. This is Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And then there's the Novavax vaccine. The 6th vaccine is the one being produced by Inovio. That might be maybe a couple of months still behind. So those are the 6 vaccines that we know are just about, either they are approved or in the pipeline close to being approved. There are, again, as I said, there are other people working on different vaccines, and time will tell whether those ones will see
maybe
the
light. Maybe a few couple of months still behind. So those are the 6 vaccines that we know.
All right, Mr. Toju should please mute his mic. We are hearing him. Mr. Toju is your mic is on. Mute your mic. All right, thank you. Go ahead, doctor.
Thank you very much. So, Dr. Ogunremi, you've talked about so many vaccines, and one wonders if there's some economic bias there. Otherwise, why are there so many vaccines?
Interesting and a great question. And it comes back to the issue we're dealing with. We are in a pandemic. And because we're in a pandemic, things are different. The landscape has changed. And the 6 vaccines came about. Again, like I said, there were in August, there was a list of 125 candidate vaccines, not even 6. But because of the pandemic, which, as you know, it's altered all of our lives, there was a lot of money available to do this because the disease is killing people. It was clear that these things have to be done differently. And this, again, is the story. This is different. So we've got 6 many vaccines because we have a pandemic. There are many people interested in developing the vaccines because of the economy. There's economic advantage, but it's more than economy. There's also lives being lost. So that's why everybody that had, you know, a spike in the fire was ready to get into the game. So that's why we have so many vaccines. There were people who think they could develop vaccines, and they started developing the vaccines, and here we are now with about 6 vaccines almost ready to go.
Are they different?
They are different. They are
also different. Also, so quickly.
The first 2 vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, are what you call messenger RNA vaccines. Just like they would say messenger RNA, let's call them messenger. Let's call them boy vaccine. Messenger RNA vaccine, boy vaccine. So those are the first 2 vaccines. The other 3 vaccines that are different are actually there's the boy vaccine, messenger RNA. There are 2 vaccines that are called adenovirus vector. Let's call them adene. There are 2
adenovirus
vector, adene. Those are based on what you call adenovirus vector. They're actually inserted into a vector. A vector is like a carrier. So adene, 2 of them. So the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is an adene, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is an adene. Now, the other 2 vaccines are different. They're unique. The Novavax vaccine is just a protein. And the Inovio vaccine is a DNA vaccine.
All right.
The DNA, the messenger RNA, and the protein, they are all stages in the biological process.
Yeah.
Apart from DNA, you look for a boy to do it, the job, and then the boy becomes the protein. The protein is actually what stimulates the immune response. So eventually, either in the body or in the lab, they all end up as a protein. They all end up as a protein, but you can develop a DNA vaccine, you can go and develop a messenger RNA vaccine, a boy vaccine, or you can develop your adenovirus vaccine. When it gets into the body, it all ends up as protein. Uniquely, the Novavax vaccine is the only protein vaccine out of the 6.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ogunremi. So basically, in creating this police or the soldiers that will protect us, these vaccines are working on various aspects of the journey to create the protein or the police that will protect us. What about this? I understand, I mean, that it takes a long time to develop vaccine, 2 to 3 years. But here we are, after 8 months, you guys are telling us that we got vaccine. Even in Nigeria, in Pfizer said, yes, I can vouch for this. We have the vaccine that will work. Man, we're scared. Can you allay our fears?
No, you're absolutely right. This was fast by any standard. And people are saying, why the rush? Why was it rushed? Let's just agree it was fast. And
okay,
we'll go through the details of why that happened the way it happened. But I don't want us to use the word rushed.
Okay.
That creates a different impression. It feeds into the idea that somebody's trying to do something really like cut corners in a very bad way to maybe lead to a consequence that nobody wants. So I want us to take the word rush out of it. But it was fast by any standard. And you're right. Vaccines takes anywhere from 5 years to 10 years to produce generally. But this is fast. And it's fast again for a number of reasons. We are in a pandemic. So the way you're in a war. The way you fight a war is different from the way you are, you know, go after somebody that's just trying to you know, knock on your door and maybe you think they're just causing you problem. No, this is a war. This war is a disease war that's coming to kill you. And therefore, you have to fight it. So the pandemic has created an environment where everybody that had anything to do with vaccination decided, let's put all our eggs in this basket. So there were a lot of people working on it. There's many reasons why it was fast, and I can take a couple of minutes to describe that to describe the details if you want, because I think it's important. So
in layman's language, you know? In layman's language, Prof.
All right. Okay. We'll do that. So the first reason is because money day for ground.
Yep.
Money day for ground.
You bet.
So when people start throwing $1 billion at you, which was the US gave to Moderna. They gave them $1 billion. And after that, within 2 months, they gave them another $1.5 billion in contracts, even when the vaccine was not ready. When you have that insane amount of money, things happen. So that's the first thing. That doesn't happen any other time except pandemic, and it's never happened before now. So there was a lot of money on the ground. There was also the urgency. Everybody was shut down. We want things to get back to normal. So that was a motivation there to get things to start working. There were a few other things. The third reason is because the technology have advanced a lot compared to before. There's just look at what's happening in the world. Things are changing. We didn't have mobile phone 5 years or 10 years ago. We didn't have a computer. I remember asking my son when he was 5 years old, he looked at my laptop and he says, and I was telling him, we didn't have this before. He said, really? That were olden age. That were ancient. We didn't have a computer. No, that wasn't that long ago. Things have changed so dramatically and they continue to change. So technology has moved so quickly that now you can develop vaccine within 2-3 days. That's putting the design in place within 2-3 days.
All right.
Before, that would take you a year or two just to put the design in place. So technology has moved. The other thing I must say, why this is also fast, is because, and you might say they cut corners, but it's not that negative. They didn't do animal testing.
Okay.
Typically, when you want to develop vaccine, you usually have an animal model and you test it on the animal to see whether they are producing whatever you want them to produce. That was not done in this case for one point is that there was no animal model. This was a new disease. There was no animal model. So even if they want to develop animal model, it would have taken a while to know if we would do what it was supposed to do. People didn't have time for that. So they said, just start. Once you think it's reasonable and it's reasonably safe, just go ahead and do whatever you need to do. Where they did not cut corners, and this is important for you, my listener, where they did not cut corners was the safety evaluation.
Okay.
And through phase one, phase two, phase three. Sometimes they combine phase one and phase two together, but they did all those. And the phase one was trying to see whether the vaccine is potent, whether it gathered juice, So in that's potency test. And then you evaluate safety first and then potency, You do safety, so you inject it to a few people and then see, are they doing okay? Usually they will do maybe half a dozen people. Moderna did about 30 people. And then if people are okay, then you now do the potency, which is okay. Is it actually producing the factor, in this case, antibodies that you expect to be produced. So they did that. And then they now did phase three. Phase three is the clinical trials. And in all cases, they were using 30,000 to 40,000 people.
That much?
30,000 to 40,000 people.
Wow.
To do that trial. So money they talk. To get 40,000 people to do that, you have to put an army out, recruiting people, making sure they fit the bill. In one case, there were 99 centers in the US where they used for this testing. So before this vaccine was approved by anyone, they have tested on at least 30,000 people. Now, testing 30,000, what they'll do is they'll split them into two. They give one group the vaccine, they give the other placebo, but neither group, the person will not be told what they got. And then they will ask them, are you feeling okay? Are you? So both placebo and the people receiving the vaccines were about 30,000 to 40,000.
What percentage of those were blacks? Are you able to tell us?
I don't have that information.
Right.
Usually, I don't have that information. Usually what they would do is they will estimate it based on the proportion in the population.
Right.
So because they usually have biostatisticians, they have epidemiologists that are doing this, they will go, okay, in the US we have 22% blacks, and they will have said, okay, we want 22% of these 30,000 people to be blacks. Typically,
thank you.
They will do.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ogunremi. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Doctor's Round on SNR. We're discussing here with Dr. Ogunremi all we need to know about COVID vaccine. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with you to continue this discussion. Be ready to tell me if you're going to take it and give it to your daughter. All right? Enjoy the music.
It's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we're bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The program you've been listening to is Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Hackmaid, and today he's been discussing with Dr. Ogunremi a very important subject that is of global concern, and we have been talking about the COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, over to you, Dr. Ahmed. Continue from where you stopped before the break.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. Ogunremi, for sparing us this very important hour. We're not going to continue our discussion. I think the next area is what you touched upon earlier on. It has to do with safety. We're all very concerned about safety. There's been information about people losing their motor function, people growing the third ear, and some people growing the central eyes. What about this? This is going to my DNA. Is that mRNA or whatever is it that you call it? Dr. Ogunremi.
Yes.
I lay my fear that I'm not going to grow the third eye.
I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you very much.
Let's be clear that no vaccine is 100% safe. There is no vaccine that's 100% safe. They do have their adverse effects. The question is always, is the vaccine providing value? Is it of benefit? What's the benefit to risk ratio? And is this a vaccine that I would take or I would recommend to my family? Those are the real practical questions. And so, yes, there's a lot of safety concerns that have been documented about this vaccine, like any other vaccine. I do remember my final year in vet school, that was almost 30 years ago now, over 30 years ago, we were vaccinated against rabies. And one of my classmates, we were all injected about the same time. And as he was injected, he was beginning to feel dizzy. And just at that moment, and he had to sit down. And after 5 minutes, he started feeling well. And there was no concern after that. That was a vaccine that caused dizziness. That was 35 years ago, over 35 years ago. So vaccines do have safety concerns. But what is the problem with the COVID vaccine? What can we expect? Okay, let's go through that. First of all, this vaccine can cause fever for about a day. It can cause nausea. In other words, you start feeling like throwing up. Your arm could be sore. You could be very tired.
Your arm could be painful, right?
Yeah.
And you go on vomit.
Yes, you go on vomit. That's right. Headache, feet knock you. Those are fairly non-serious signs. And those have been documented. There are a few more serious signs that have also been observed. And these other serious signs have only been reported in very few cases. One of it is an anaphylactic reaction. And what's that? Mm-hmm. That's when you react unpredictably and very quickly to something you're exposed to. And in some cases, that could be very serious. So with the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, that happened to two people in UK. And they were treated with EpiPen. EpiPen is something that you usually carry to inject yourself if you have an anaphylactic reaction. And sometimes that could require hospitalization. But in those cases, all the anaphylactic reaction we heard about, it has not been a concern. They've been treated. And so for many of those vaccines, they say now, if you know that you're allergic to something, you should talk to your doctor before you take this vaccine. That's becoming kind of standard for the boy vaccine, the messenger RNA vaccine, the Pfizer and the Moderna. If you have a history of allergic reaction, talk to your doctor before you take the vaccine. Now, those are the severe ones we've heard about, but we do know that in Norway, there have been a report of 30 people dying, older folks, after they were exposed to the vaccine. And in that report, they did say that some of these people were very old people, and they felt that, again, quoting the Norwegian authority, that they were people that were, half of them were people they would have expected to live for weeks or months, even if they didn't get the vaccine. Those were their quotes. Out of those 30 people that died, they also claimed that in Norway, they expect there are 400 people dying every day in that age category.
Okay.
So the story is this, their story, and this is the Norwegian authority, that they could not say it was the vaccine that caused that. They didn't think it was, and they don't have any concern about the vaccine. That's the only country where we've seen that number. Now, in a couple of countries, in US, for instance, we've had instances, and this would be one or two reports here or there of people who got the vaccine and died after, within a week. We've had that. But again, this is the story. In the US, they vaccinated millions of people. Millions by now. Maybe the estimate, of course, even as we're speaking, they're vaccinating. So you never know the exact amount. But I would think they vaccinated over 10 million people in the US.
But, Dr. Gurney, you've talked about the mild side effect and you've talked about the fatal side effect, death. But there are reports of people losing their motor function, unable to work and having some bizarre gait. What's the truth to that? Is there any truth to these abnormal movements that they talk about? Sudden blindness and so on and so forth.
Now, I haven't seen or read reports of motor problems, blindness. I have not seen that. What I can tell you is that there would be no scientific explanation for the DNA or the messenger RNA or the protein injected into you leading to blindness.
Okay.
There would be no scientific explanation for that.
Is there a scientific explanation that it will lead to abnormal gait, people having some bizarre movements, uncontrollable movement? Is there any scientific basis to that?
There would be no scientific basis to think that will be the result of the vaccine.
Thank you. Is there any scientific basis to say that as blacks, we're more prone to developing certain side effects beyond what you have mentioned?
Blacks?
Yes, as blacks.
Absolutely not. There will be no scientific basis to say that a genetic component, a racial component, will predispose to that. As a matter of fact, there was already evidence to say that is not true, because when they will have vaccinated 40,000 people during the trial, they will have there'll be a proportion of all the racial component in the population there, and they will have picked that up. Right. Remember, when they do this testing, they monitor these people, and all that data is provided to the regulatory agencies of the different countries. These are professionals. These are not people that know anything about companies, how they are doing. They know about vaccines. Their job is to see whether those vaccines are safe. And they are professionals. And they're in different countries. And they look at the data, they ask the company for more data, to evaluate what the company is saying. If they do not see valid data to support safety, they will ask the company that you need to provide us more data, and they will not approve it. These are
one political question. Agencies. I'm sorry to interrupt you. One political question. Are there blacks on those regulatory bodies? Do you think there are black on those regulatory bodies?
Absolutely.
Are there Nigerians on the scientists?
I can also tell you that for Health Canada, for instance, which is where we live, we have a friend who works for the Health Canada Regulatory Agency.
Thank you.
A friend of ours, Nelson Irobi, who's a wonderful man that has good integrity. So there's no way to buy all these people over, as we've kind of heard that there might be a bit of an underground, you know, just to sway opinions. No, these are professionals.
Thank you very much. I know the time is against us, and I want to touch on some important points. I'm sold from what you've told me. I'm sold that you trust the vaccine. But let me ask you a few personal questions before we talk about Nigeria. Will you give this vaccine to your daughter if she were pregnant?
So somebody asked me that question. My daughter is not pregnant. My daughter is not married. So
if she were, you're too young.
It's a bit hypothetical, but somebody asked me that question. And I would take the vaccine without any question at all. If my daughter wants to take the vaccine, I would support it. Now, in pregnancy, I have to let you know that usually pregnancy is treated specially because the regulatory agency wants to see more data before recommending something for other people. It's not just vaccines, only drugs. That's just standard procedure since the issue of thalidomide happened in the U.S. It's just good standard. So again, for Moderna, for Pfizer, when they did the testing, the 40,000 people, they said, we don't want pregnant people in this group. And so, however,
Dr. Oduwaye, can you please mute your mic? Dr. Oduwaye, you are interrupting the session. Dr. Dele Murakiyo, can you also please mute? And questions, we'll be taking questions in a few minutes. Can you finish your thought there?
So I wanted to talk about this so that we build, because I'll answer your question specifically. Will I allow my pregnant daughter to take if my daughter is pregnant? So again, I'm saying that the testing was not done on pregnancy deliberately. And so the agencies will not say, take it, will not specifically recommend it. However, in the case of the Pfizer, we know that 5 people were pregnant during the candidates were pregnant. And we haven't heard any adverse effect. I believe, like many vaccinations that are given to pregnant people, there are many vaccinations given to pregnant people. I believe these vaccines will be safe even in pregnancy. So I will not ask my daughter to take it before she's pregnant, but she comes and says, I'm pregnant. Do you think that you think I'll take this vaccine? I would say, I think it's safe.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ogunremi. Listeners, you're here with Dr. Ogunremi, who has been our special guest on this media edition of Doctor's Round. He has been sharing his idea, his scientific opinion, and what's latest in the literature on the COVID vaccine. Please feel free to ask questions. You can always get in touch with us. I tell you, what number is that to call for,
all right,
for
plus, questioning? Yeah, the number is +234 705 320 1010. +234 7 No, plus 234-705-320-1010. I repeat, plus 234-705-320-1010.
And the studio managers are there, so you can put it in the chat. I'm sure they'll be monitoring that. If there are any questions, that they will let us know as we proceed with this. Now, let me go back to the situation here in Nigeria, just to hone it in. I'm sold that it's safe. I'm sold that there are minor side effects. I'm sold that it's protective with 94% to 95%. But hey, Dr. Ogunremi, the truth is this. They're telling us to store these vaccine, especially the Pfizer, at -70 degrees. -70 degrees. Where do you get -70 degrees in Nigeria?
That's a problem. That's a problem. So -70 is not an easy temperature to get, because you need liquid nitrogen to get that, and you need a big infrastructure, which is not that easy, especially when you're going to vaccinate millions of people. So that's a challenge in Nigeria. I don't know how we could do our more for Nigeria. I know Sabi.
Right.
But
Do you have the hope that we get this vaccine to Nigeria one day? We've sold the vaccine, hopefully.
Yeah.
People are ready for it. Yes. How do we, they're competing priorities.
Yeah.
I mean, even here, you have to go to a special place to get the vaccine. You have
Correct.
To go. Some
Correct.
Hospitals don't have it. So how do you go about this?
Yeah. Fortunately, the messenger RNA vaccines are the ones that are recommended for storage at -70. The adenovirus vaccines, the adenovirus vaccines can be stored in the fridge for up to 3 months.
Regular fridge?
Regular
my maker's fridge?
For up to
my
three
maker's
months.
Fridge?
Every, regular fridge, yeah.
Okay.
For up to 3 months. The protein vaccine also, when that's ready, also will not require anything close to -70. It will probably be stored in fridge. We don't know what they will recommend, but these are vaccines that are usually, proteins that are usually stored in the fridge for months. So certainly frozen at -20, freezing at -20 will work for most of the other vaccines. I think it's the messenger RNA vaccines that are requiring that. And again, this is the first time the world had
Next one more, child.
Hello, do you have a question there? Is that Dr. Udwai? Hello, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, here in the UK, I think mostly they've just started with the Oxford one. It was the Pfizer most health workers were given.
Right.
But the contention has always been people very skeptical, with a lot of information about bad aspect of vaccine. I think there was a write-up recently in one of the black magazine and newspaper that Bill Gates is up to something, to all this rubbish. And when most of my patients call me, I use myself as an example. I think we're one of the first set of people that have the Pfizer vaccine here in the UK. And
so
I use myself.
You're taking your first dose?
Yeah,
you've taken your first dose. Good
yes,
for you. Good
been,
for you.
The second one has been delayed for another 3 months, according to the NHS. But the point is, COVID-19, as at now, has no treatment. It's only prevention. Why don't you try it instead of being skeptical? So I want to know the view of the guest speaker about this, because we get a lot of inquiries from medical, non-medical people. Is this thing good for me? And I said, well, if I think it's good for me and I've had it, that's the only answer I can give you.
Okay.
I don't know what's your view about this.
Your question is, since we don't have cure, is this, what's your opinion with regards to giving this?
Thank you, Dr. Dwayne. And that's great. I think that's the best answer we can give, that you have taken the vaccine. I intend to take it anytime it's offered to me. And that's the best answer we can give to people, because testimonies are where it is. So make we all go get the vaccine. Now, I should also say, I understand the concern with vaccination. This is a new vaccine. People have come up with a number of different issues. The problem with some of the concerns people are bringing up is they are conflating different aspects. They'll take the truth in one place, they mix it up with a different but separate truth, they will bring it all together and create a monster out of facts that are unrelated. And I think that's part of the problem we've seen. And with social media today, it's viral. So I'm saying that most of these things we're hearing about concerns, yes, no vaccine is 100%. Yes, nobody should be mandated. There should be no mandatory vaccination that people are forced to take. But there should be education that it's in our best interest to protect ourselves. It's our best interest to protect people around us. But I think as many more people take the vaccines and people see that they're doing okay, then there'll be greater eagerness to participate in the vaccination process.
Thank you very much. This is SNR, and we're discussing COVID vaccine from politics to economics, biology, and all that you have about COVID vaccine. Dr. Oburem, we're rounding up very quickly. We know there's a problem with cold chain in Nigeria. We know this may not be available in Nigeria soon. We know probably Nigerians in the diaspora are more at an advantage to getting this vaccine. Let me ask you, how protective is this vaccine? Let's say I have the vaccine. Can I go to Dubai without my mask? Do I have to forget about using the sanitizer and social distancing? Should just go to the doodles?
That's a good question. And again, it's that type of question that
we deal
with a new virus, a new set of vaccines, a new experience. Yes, you can do that. No, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that people will evaluate as time goes on. The regulatory agencies are very careful recommending something and then finding out that, oh, don't let it be that way. Then it becomes very difficult to roll things back. And that has happened in this case as well. So let's look at the evidence. Again, the evidence should lead us into what we're doing, into decision. This phase 3 trial showed 94% protection. Those antibodies have been tested in the lab in phase 1. They neutralize the virus in phase 1.
Okay.
And they also showed in phase 1 and phase 2 that those antibodies were even higher than those who survived the infection. So we do know that in virtually all cases, when you survive the infection, you are protected from reinfection. There have been exceptions, but those are a few. So based on the scientific theory, scientific evidence, you will expect that once you're vaccinated, except 2 doses with the Moderna and the Pfizer, you should have a lot of antibodies that will protect you.
Okay.
But again, the issue in disease, dose matters, because your protection, if it's not very strong, again, we expect it to be strong, but there's always variation. If it's not very strong and you get an overwhelming dose of exposure, it could wear down your protection.
But right.
You know, the extremes and the margins now.
Yeah.
For the most part, you should be protected once you get the full dose, the full course of the vaccine, as recommended by the manufacturer.
So basically, Dr. Oduwaye, the caller in earlier on, is 52% toss of a coin protected between the first dose of Pfizer and the next dose. So you are advising that, yes, there may be exposure to a higher dose that may overwhelm that. So your advice to Dr. Oduwaye is to mask up, right?
That's right. Correct.
And even if I got this vaccine, I better mask up, even if I have the fuller doses, because I can never be able to tell what dose I'm going to be exposed. So when I go to Nigeria, I better be prepared to protect myself.
Absolutely.
Mask up, wash my hand, maintain social distancing.
Absolutely.
Can you quickly, we have a few minutes to go here, can you quickly touch on the vulnerable ones? We all have elderly in Nigeria. What's your advice? About the vaccine and how to protect.
This is a very sensitive area. I have wonderful aunties that are in their 90s and close to 90s, and it's a very sensitive area. Again, I don't think we should force the vaccination on anybody. If people are not willing to take the vaccine, I don't think we should be forced on them. I'll be careful about vaccinating people that are of ill health already. I would rather protect them. Let them, if they are very old, stay home. Make sure you can continue social distance. For people that have low immune system, if it's just low immunity, if it's that's the only issue, not serious illness, this vaccine will work for them. It will work even better, especially the Pfizer vaccine. They bypass all the other concern with immunosuppression or reduced immune system. So in a nutshell, yes, we should be careful. We're very old and vulnerable people. If we are concerned, we should not force vaccination on them or on anybody for that matter. But for the most part, where they've used it for older people, the vaccine have worked with older people as well.
Well, on that note, how time flies when you're having fun. It is my pleasure to thank you on behalf of Nigerians in the diaspora, on behalf of Nigerians who have listened to you today, and to thank SNR for listening to Doctor's Round. Thank you very much, Dr. Oguremi, for bringing your wealth of experience. You've said it all. This is prophylaxis. This is for protection. Before we get it in Nigeria, we need to do the basic thing. Make sure you protect yourself, wear your mask, social distancing, and use the sanitizer. Nigerians going home, protect yourself. This brings us to the end of today's Doctor's Round. Next week, we're going to have another great guest, and that would be one of our world physicians here, the former president of the Canadian Association of Nigerian Physicians and Dentists. He's going to be discussing another very important point. Make it a date, 1 o'clock next week. Thank you very much, and that brings us to the end of Doctor's Round. My name is A.G. Ahmed. I'll see you next week. Goodbye. Ta-ra.
All right. Thank you very much, A.G. Ahmed and Dr. Oguremi. Thank you very much for this wonderful maiden edition of Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. We celebrate Nigerians in diaspora on the station. And of course, we got our Dr. A.G. Ahmed and Dr. Dele Oguremi today, and as well as many other doctors I can see here on the screen. All right, till we come your way again next week with Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Keep on listening, keep on enjoying the Strictly Nigerian music we play. And of course, this one is Doggy Dog by Fela and Nicola Pokuti. I know Dr. Ahmed would love that. See you guys next week.
Bye bye. See you.